6, 7, 8, 9, 10. 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. This is the beginning of an interview with students at Jackson College, Jackson, Mississippi. When you speak, if you give you a name, it might be useful, you see. When you have to have something to say, you say, my name is so-and-so. We'll just say your name, then we can have a record. Let's begin with a general question, general topic. What would you expect from Negro leadership? You personally. No taker? I don't want to act like a class and point fingers, you know. Speak up. You just lay it down. It'll pick up. Just lay it on the table. Speak a natural voice. That'll be all right.
My name is James Cresswell. To me, a leader should be one who thinks of all humanity in such a way that he does things that that is approved by everyone. Therefore, I might be generalizing to some extent. I think in Mississippi that the Negro leaders are not up to par as they should be. Thank you.
Would you want to be more specific about why they fail here, in your opinion?
In my opinion, in the boycotting of various supermarkets, my personal belief is that I feel that Reverend L.T. Smith is using his store as a place to gain profit for himself without trying to benefit humanity, as I said before.
How about you?
My name is Alex Sanders. In respect to the question about Negro leadership, I think we need more leadership in smaller communities, especially in the state of Mississippi, in the areas of teaching and in religious leadership. I feel that we fail in small areas, in the immediate community, where incidental education goes along with formal. Many cases we find ourselves far short after coming to college and seeing a broader perspective of life as compared to our provincial areas. And to work in this area is the place where we would really begin to solve the problem, to begin with it if you permit me to use a trite expression, the leaders of tomorrow will have being made. If we could get better religious leaders, teachers, principals, administrators, and businessmen in smaller areas.
And who wants it? There it is.
Well, my name is Della Burt. First of all, I would like to say that I expect the Negro leader to guide the mass with their best interest in mind, and also in the field of education, because the Negro is struggling for their rights and so forth. I feel that we should have Negro leaders who will help us in this field so that we will be qualified at that time.
Ms. Burt sometimes said that the mass, as it's you call it, has been ahead of the leadership. The leaders have succeeded who have moved in and used the direction already manifested to the mass. The mass has not been passive in the recent years, waiting for leaders. They have provided the energy, and the leaders stepped into a moment created by the mass, unplanned moments. This is Montgomery. There's no one planned Montgomery situation. it happened. That leadership used it.
Yes, I think that that is true, too. But in this case, as in the Montgomery case, the mass undoubtedly was very strong, and there were leaders in the mass. And at this time, the leaders really came out. It was the mass supported the leaders. And in this way, the leaders came out to help guide the mass into what they had intended to do.
They emerged from a spontaneous action.
Yes.
They didn't plan the action. They emerged from the action. Mm-hmm. Just as though out of the troubles here, which was spontaneous, I gather. Leadership might have emerged in this direction or that direction. Of course, in the mass actions, always leadership does emerge. This was spontaneous. Who wants to talk?
I am Jacqueline Sharp, and I think that in your smaller cities in the South, where you need leadership, you find none. You find some, but it's not on the same basis that you find it in the larger cities. Say, for instance, Jackson, you would find more leadership in Jackson than you would find in smaller cities, from my hometown, for instance, Grenada, Mississippi. I think that our leaders need to make themselves known. I think that they are either afraid of losing their jobs or being outcast or something, but we really need more leadership. And in leadership, I look for people that I can look up to in cases of emergencies, to confirm statements, to answer my questions, and in general, there's always someone you can go to and you know that you will receive some response, either pro or con.
Is this changing in smaller places in Mississippi now? Is it changing?
Well, within the last past 5 or 6 months, I think that the Negro leadership is becoming more prevalent than it has been in previously years.
What about the educational programs for registration? Has that had any marked effect?
In your larger cities, yes. And in your smaller cities, I don't think it's about the same.
You see no signs of leadership beginning to emerge in the smaller places?
Well, in my hometown, I found none.
Well, I find that the leadership is coming in small communities from the outside. Now, we have had for a long time people in the given community, say, who were willing to, say, house or feed leaders who would come from the outside. And they themselves, not having the educational level that is needed, the intellectual insights into the key problems, having had no real formal education in these things and no understanding of really what's going on, the workings of them, that they would foster a program in helping others to carry on the work that they should be prepared to do themselves. And in this way, I think that, say, Grenada, Itabina, Greenwood, the leadership is coming from the outside and trying to train leadership within.
But that's happening, is it?
Yes.
What is your hometown, by the way?
Greenwood.
Greenwood. I read about it in the paper. By the way, speaking of Greenwood, in fact, I've been there some years ago. Speaking of Greenwood, what do you make, any of you, at this table of the mistrial? How do you interpret it?
Oh, this is my interpretation.
Let's have it.
At first, there was a great bit of anxiety on my part going through the trial, daily trial, and I'd expected a clear verdict, not guilty. And to have this sort of opinion coming finally out of the trial was a little encouraging to me. And perhaps at the next trial he will get the not guilty verdict. But this was encouraging.
Do you think this is rigged?
I would like to think it was.
I would like to think so. It would.
It was rigged.
I know.
Did it for purposes of making it seem the
outside.
For
outside, yes.
I really think so.
It went so smoothly. And to have the prosecuting attorney say that he had not received a threatening phone call, everything had gone smoothly, and
and had these two cops to come on and scan if they saw him.
There's so much happening that you can't find logical reasoning for. You really, you can just about say anything about it because you really don't know.
No, we don't know.
And you just can say, you can form your own opinion about it because so much undercover stuff is going on.
And I think that I was greatly embarrassed by the gross immorality of a key figure coming up and shaking a man's hand who's on trial.
It is rather strange, isn't it?
Yes. That's immoral to me.
It is unusual in a courtroom anyway.
Yes.
Yes, it is.
Yes. To have the high priest come in and
I think, too, the occasions, on occasions before the trial, he has had opportunities to write or get messages to the outside through the news media here. Many of the editorials and the local papers have mentioned favorable comments for this man, which give rise to suspicion in the execution of his case. Of course, as many others here, I thought there would be a flat, not guilty verdict. And, of course, there were other possibilities, such as being decided mentally incompetent or temporary insanity. All of these things had come to mind, but never had I expected a hung jury.
Let's assume, just for the moment, that it was rigged. It was planned and acted out as a little drama. What would that imply? That hasn't been the case in the past, has it?
Well, I would like to think otherwise.
but let's assume that it's rigged. Then what is the meaning of that fact?
It means that our system of justice will have to be re-examined, especially on this level.
Well, why would they take the trouble to rig it? They've never tried to rig it in the past. They were bothered to rig it in the past.
You must remember that Mississippi is very much so, much more than we've seen her within the last few years. And to have this case with the tension and the pressures that are now coming to bear, and to not sort of appease a certain community, you see, would give rise to numerous demonstrations that they had not had before.
You think it's a matter of appeasing a local community or a part of the local community, the Mississippi community, or the outside world in that case?
Both.
Both. That is, there is a part of the Mississippi community to be appeased. You mean just the Negro community or part of the white community too that needs appeasement that way? Any of
them?
You don't believe that, but don't stop you.
Well, let's look at it this way. Certain things that they would do, let us say, with the a few weeks ago, last week, I believe they sent 100,000, $500 to Washington.
Right.
Yes, to defeat this bill, and a few days ago, the mayor was on TV asking for additional funds to build additional compounds to hold the prisoners that they are expecting during the summer months. I'm sure. All of these things are pointing toward a rising motion, as I see it. Seems ludicrous to me to send $100,000 away when you need it at home, and you're asking a legislature to give you more money.
When need at home to build compounds with.
No.